So this is an interesting passage of scripture, and we're going to look at that as it regards commitment. So when we're talking about these topics, Sharon had a meeting with Jane and with me, and so we could discuss our topics for X Factor this month. And then Sharon told us what we were going to do. So it was a helpful meeting. And I was given this topic of commitment to deal with. And I've been puzzling about this. It's kind of a common word, right? Something that we understand. And I was thinking about commitment, what it really meant. I mean, at a deep level, what could it possibly mean? And I was thinking about the commitments in my life. Now, one of those is that I'm a Broncos supporter. And if any of you follow rugby league, you'll know that this has been a very difficult period to be a Broncos supporter. We've only won one game. And in fact, there's been many times this season where I confess I've had to turn the TV off. I'm not like some Parramatta supporters. I won't name any names, but when you see Marty wearing his Parramatta gear, when he's doing the announcement, that kind of thing, showing off because they're winning. So it's hard to be committed. And I thought, why am I committed? Why do I care about this? In fact, why do I turn the TV off? I turn the TV off because I care about it at some level. Because I think to be committed is to be emotionally invested, isn't it? It's not an intellectual thing. It's about having an emotional investment. It's kind of a wholehearted investment in something, in wanting your team to do well. And what is it that makes us committed? It's a funny thing because while I support the Broncos and I support Queensland in State of Origin, I don't support Queensland in any other sports. And part of my support for the Broncos and for Queensland comes from my experience of being at Lang Park back in the early 80s and seeing Queensland get thrashed every year in the Interstate Series prior to State of Origin and seeing all our best players go to New South Wales. So I went through this experience and it kind of forged me into a Queensland supporter and a Broncos supporter. So is that what it takes, an experience maybe, to shape our commitment or to help us want to be committed? Well, in a sense, it is. You see, this passage reminds us right at the start there that the church is always the creation of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that makes a church, not us. It's the Spirit that makes us one body, makes us a church, makes us a community. And in fact, this passage talks about the baptism of the Spirit. We're all baptized into the one Spirit. And for salvationists, that should be something that's really important for us. We don't participate in water baptism, but the baptism of the Spirit actually matters to us. And so perhaps when we sing those Holy Spirit songs, when we sing Spirit of the Living God, for instance, what are we really asking for when we sing that? What are we hoping that the Spirit will do? We might be asking for new gifts, for new insights. We might be asking for the Spirit to make us feel better, for the Holy Spirit to help us feel closer to God. And all of that is true, but it also should be a reminder about the communal aspect. The Holy Spirit makes us a church. It reminds us that we are one in the Spirit. It reminds us where our allegiance lies. It reminds us that we are one body. Now, this is a famous metaphor. If you've been around the church for a few years, you will know this phrase, the body of Christ. And here is where Paul unpacks it, and it's almost very repetitive. He kind of says the same thing over and over and over again. I think he's trying to make a point, and he's trying to make it very clearly. And he's not just offering a theory of the church. Paul's saying this because it matters. He's not saying it because he wants to have just some new information for the church at Corinth. Now remember, of course, that this is the first time that anybody's heard this metaphor. They have not grown up with this concept of the body of Christ and what it means to be part of the body. This is new stuff for them. When this letter is read aloud in their church, they're absorbing this information for the first time. And so Paul says it clearly. He wants them to change how they understood their church. He wants them to change how they acted. He wants them to commit to each other as one body, however diverse their gifts, however diverse their skills and talents, whatever their ethnicity, whatever their family history, they were one. And so he uses this metaphor of the body and of body parts. And I'm really glad that in the recent translation of the NIV, they changed this word, because prior to this, it used to say members, not body parts. But the word actually literally means body parts, and the members bit was kind of a distraction because we thought it meant about members, as in names on the roll. But it's all about this central metaphor that we're all part of the one body, that we're all joined, that we're all necessary, no matter how young or old, no matter what your background, no matter what your skill set is. And so Paul says, value each other. I mean, if you were to summarise this and you wanted to say it in less words, you might say, don't be a silly foot. All right, that's in verse 15. Now, the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body. It's not impossible. Don't be a silly foot. And it's kind of, in a way, glib and easy to say that. But there's something important here. Paul is saying to the people in the church, don't ever think that you don't matter. Don't ever think because you're not as gifted or as talented, because you're not up front, because not everybody knows your name, don't think that you don't matter. Even if you're not on display, you matter to the church. And we can infer something else. Don't think that it's all about you. Paul says everybody matters. We're committed to the whole church. None of you are more important than the other. And so we would say we value those in the church who may be small, whose role is less, whose contribution may be less, because that doesn't matter. We're all part of the same body. We're spiritually and relationally connected. Each of us matters to the church. Paul says, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. So we kind of need to value the pinkies and the belly buttons in our church. Doesn't matter how small. Be grateful for everyone. Thank God for them. Serve them as you serve Christ. In fact, he says in verse 25, have equal concern for each other. And to have concern for each other is to be committed to each other, to be emotionally invested in each other, to worry about people, to care for them, to love them, to look after them. And we need to do it. In fact, Paul tells us we're indispensable. We could put that on a t-shirt. I have to serve at my church, participate in worship. I am indispensable. Or perhaps a better way to say it for this week's t-shirt would be, church, I'm in. I'm in. Completely in. In as in part of it. In as in present. In as in serving. In as emotionally invested. In as in caring. Doesn't mean we're in control, right? But it means we're in, we're invested in this. We moved to a farm when I was about 8 years old, and we learned to ride horses. So I think I was eight when we got our first pony, and he was a pony, and he was an old pony, and he was a very experienced pony with inexperienced riders. And one of the things that used to happen was, as we're riding back home, if we'd been outside the farm and rode over to our cousins, we'd come back a lane, or a stock route it was actually, and come out the stock route and turn right, head up the road towards the house. Now, the thing was, our pony, which was Jacko, knew when you were heading for home. And he knew when he got to this stock route that the ride was almost over. And so he would literally put the bit between his teeth so you couldn't control him, and he would just take off. And inexperienced riders like us, there was nothing we could do about it. He was determined. And here's the thing, he wasn't catering for us either. And as he'd go around the corner post, my brother and I learnt to our peril that he wasn't making an allowance for our leg on the inside of that turn as he went round the corner. But we were there. We were on that ride. We were in. We were committed. There was no way to get out of it. That's what commitment means, you see. And sometimes we substitute some other words for commitment, or we shape it to a way that helps us fit what we want. You see, commitment does not mean the same as reliable. Just turning up every week is not commitment, or faithful, if you like. Commitment does not mean in control. Commitment does not mean in the centre. Commitment means we're along for the ride. We're not opting out. We're sold out. We're all in. In the good way, we're able to say, this is my church. Not in the sense of ownership, but in the sense of belonging. Commitment means offering all we are to our church, knowing that we matter and that everybody else matters as well. Sometimes, though, church feels hard. I don't know if you ever had that experience. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that as a core officer, but sometimes church feels hard. Sometimes it can feel like hard work, and sometimes we talk about that as commitment, that commitment is just hard work. And it's okay if sometimes we do turn up when we don't particularly want to, all right? When we're tired or things haven't gone well this week, and we turn up, and it does feel like hard work, and that is commitment, right? That's responding to our responsibility to be part of the community. But we wouldn't want it to be all that. We'd want it to be something more than that. Because at the heart of this enterprise we call church should be a deep sense of connection to something that truly matters. A sense of connection to a community of eternal consequence. A sense of purpose. A sense of what we do. What we do by committing to our church is important. You know that story, of course, of Jesus. These are his very first recorded words in the gospel. They were when he was a boy. And Mary and Joseph thought they'd lost him. They'd been up to Jerusalem and they were coming home and they'd worked out he wasn't with the whole crowd. And so they went back hunting for him and they found him in the temple. And these were Jesus' first recorded words. Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? And we too must be in our Father's house. The Holy Spirit has made us part of this thing we call church, and we're committed to it. We're connected to it. We're all in. We're along for the ride. And so we care for each other. We work alongside one another. We live out of Jesus' culture. And we commit to each other as one people, one body, one church, knowing that small as you and I might sometimes feel, we are indispensable, that we matter to God and we matter to each other and that we belong. And so we commit to each other, we offer our lives to each other. And yes, some of us are pinkies and belly buttons, hidden most of the time, and people don't always see us. And yes, some of us are eyes that are always on display. But both of us are equally connected. Each of us offers still all we can. I don't know if you know this John Wesley quote, or a supposed John Wesley quote. It says, do all the good you can by all the means you can and all the ways you can and all the places you can and all the times you can to all the people you can as long as ever you can. The thing is, I'm not sure that John Wesley ever said that. There's no record of him ever saying that. Even though if you look up Goodreads, it says it is his quote. But he did say this, and perhaps this is where that quote comes from. And I think I've got it on the screen. Employ whatever God has entrusted you with in doing good, all possible good, in every possible kind and degree, to the household of faith, to all people. Doing good, all possible good, in every possible kind and degree. That's commitment, isn't it? It's a statement of commitment. And it's my prayer for us in our core, in this difficult season, when we're in temporary accommodation, when COVID means we can't work together, that nevertheless we will commit to each other. We'll commit ourselves afresh to God and to our church. And it's my prayer that God will release us into new ways of being, give us a renewed longing to live for him, that he'll recreate us through the Spirit. Because remember, that's how this started, this thing called church. Baptized by the one Spirit to be the one body. God through his Spirit making us his church, renewing us as his church. May each of us offer all we are to our church, knowing that we matter and that we belong. Church, I'm in. Let's respond to God. Let's sing. Let's plead for his renewing and his recreation in us.